Psalm 62, if you would, please. Psalms chapter 62. The title of the message this morning is God Enough? He's not dead, but is he enough? Psalm chapter 62, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. This is something that God's been dealing with me most of this past week. And since I don't like to bear the misery alone, I'm going to pass the conviction on to you too. But, sometimes we don't act like he's alive. We don't act like he cares. We don't act like he's a part of our lives. Is he enough in your life today? With nothing else, is God enough for you? It's interesting, even just yesterday, I was talking with someone and I used this for them. Because they needed to know that God, in spite of what they were facing and the problems that they were in, God is enough. You know, this is a struggle that we all need to come to grips with. And it's a struggle that is as old as mankind. You go clear back to the Garden of Eden. You think about that God created everything. And then it says God prepared. He planted a garden in Eden for Adam and Eve. And he placed them in that. It said he made it pleasant to the sight and the things good for food. Gave them everything that they could want. Anything that they could need. It was all there for them. God put them in that garden, and he says, do anything you want, except eat the tree, the fruit on that tree. Anything else was fair game. Just don't eat the fruit on that tree. God wasn't enough for Adam and Eve. In spite of all that God had done, and all that God had prepared for them, the beauty of that creation, that God prepared for them and coming and visiting them regularly, that his companionship, it wasn't enough. They listened to the whispering of Satan. Oh, you need that. And they gave in to the temptation and they went after it. With all that, not enough. But you know, it goes back to Adam and Eve. But I dare say that there's probably some right here this morning that faced a struggle with that already. Maybe it was your kids fighting with them about what clothes to wear. Well, I don't want to wear that. I don't like these shoes. Or I don't want that cereal again. There's always something else that we seem to think that we need. And then we'll be satisfied. And the bottom line is God is not enough. Some of you this week face some things, probably. Some trials, some heartaches, some of the modern conveniences to make our life easier broke, and suddenly it's not easier anymore. And God isn't enough. Folks, we need to get a hold of this truth. God is enough. And we need to start living like God is enough in our lives, in every area of our lives. He said, in God is my salvation, verse 7. My glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Is God enough? I believe he is. Although, as I said, I don't always live like it. I struggle with that too. But he should be enough for our lives. October the 27th, 1975, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. 23 years old, I walked an aisle in a Baptist church up in Tioga Center, New York. Raised Roman Catholic. Never held a Bible in my hands until that day. Well, actually about 3 or 4 days before that. But I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know what? I found out that God is enough for salvation. I put my faith and trust in him. It's been 42 years. It'll be 42 years in October. I wouldn't give it up for anything. There have been some rough times, oftentimes of my own making, but God's been good. God has over and over and over again proved himself to be enough. He's enough for salvation, but you know, for many people, he's not. Too many people think that there's something else that I've got to add to what God has done, what God has provided to be able to save my soul in order to get to heaven. That doesn't work. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, speaking to Thomas here, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not the Catholic Church. It's not the Baptist Church. It's not the Lutheran Church. It's not by our good works. It's not by anything else but Jesus Christ that we can come to God the Father. We've got to come through him. And he's enough. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Man, people get hung up on that. But I'm trying to live by the golden rule. I try to do right. I try to live by the commandments. You try, but you fail. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's enough for my salvation. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. This describes each and every one of us, you know. There's not a person here that deserves to go to heaven in and of ourselves. I certainly don't. And neither do any, not even those precious little ones who just walk back to children's church. They don't deserve to go to heaven. Because salvation, getting into heaven, is not about me. It's about what he did for me. He says, for ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. This whole list, and you can add on to it, of all the things that condemn me to hell, condemn each and every one of us to hell, he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I've got eternal life. I have that hope of eternal life. You know, people get a little bit confused here because the way we use hope today, it's like, well, it snowed in western Kansas. I hope it doesn't snow here today. That's not the way the Bible uses the word hope. Hope in the Bible is something that's sure, it's just not realized yet. Like, the sun's going to go down tonight, and it's coming back up tomorrow. It's something that's coming without question. And that's what I have, is the hope of eternal life. It's certain, it's sure, because it's based upon Him and what He did for me, and not what I do, not of myself. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul said, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I'm saved by him. He's enough. There's nothing else I can or should want to add to that. For my salvation, settled 42 years ago, that's enough. I know that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with Him because of what He did for me. Many think there's more that's needed. You can't add to what God has done. You can't add to perfection. And God is perfect in all of His works. God is enough for salvation. But let's get closer to the fence this morning. This is where it's going to hit all of us. Is God enough in life? Or did something just flash into your mind right now? But what about? Is God enough for you in this moment right now? Look at Psalm 23. Says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Sunday school teacher asked the class if there was anybody in her class that could recite the 23rd Psalm. And one little girl raised her hand, I can do it. And so she called on her and had her come up there, and she got up there and she did a little curtsy. And then she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And she curtsied again and sat down. But that's true. That's concisely what it says. He's my shepherd. He's enough. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because he's enough. And he's going to take me home to be with him one day. But in the meantime, we need to make him enough in our daily lives. Is God enough if I lose something or someone near and dear to me? Is God enough when I've been wronged or betrayed by someone close? Is God enough when something I've longed for, dreamed of, worked for, sacrificed for, fails to come to pass? Raise, promotion, recognition, whatever the case may be. Is God enough? Is God enough when I struggle personally or spiritually or in some other area of my life? Is God enough when some want or desire is unfulfilled? Or do I need the fruit from that tree to be satisfied? Is God enough when tragedy strikes to me or to someone close to me? Look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we read about Abraham. We are introduced to him in chapter 11 of Genesis. So the first 11 chapters of the first book of the Bible are laying the groundwork covering about 2,000 years of human history. And it points down to this one man at this point. And from here on to the remaining 38 chapters of the book of Genesis, and in fact through the rest of the Old Testament, and even much of the New Testament, everything that takes place in some way or another pretty much revolves around Abraham and his descendants. The whole of humanity focuses right here on Abraham. And he says in verse 1 of Genesis 22, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." The whole focus of God's plan and purpose is upon Abraham. God had made some promises to him of what God was going to do through him and his seed. And he got to be up in age, and his wife Sarah was up in age, and still no children are coming to fulfill those promises that God had made. And so they conspired together, Abraham and Sarah, and they decided, well, take my handmaid, and you'll have a child, and that'll help God out with the promises. And Ishmael was born. Ishmael, who today, this very day, is a thorn in the side of the people of Israel. A lot of the fighting going on over in the Middle East includes the descendants of Ishmael causing problems for the people of Israel. Because Abraham and Sarah didn't count God's promise to be enough. But then God says, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to accept this. Sarah is going to bear you a child. And all of my promises that I've made, all that I'm going to do, is going to come through that child that's born of Sarah. And Isaac was born. And this child's growing up, and he's probably in his mid to teens at this time. And now God says, this child on whom all the promises rest, all that I'm going to do for you, this is the one where it rests. I want you to take him and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And it says, verse 3, "And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." God says, I want you to sacrifice him. He gets up early the next day. It's not a matter of putting it off as long as he can. He gets after it as soon as he can. Why? Because God is enough. God, I don't understand this. God, I can't in my mind conceive of how what you've promised me is going to come to pass if I do what you've told me to do. But God, you're enough. And he proved it. As he stood there with the altar laid out and Isaac laid on that altar and the knife ready to plunge into his chest, God says, "Pup, that's good. You've proven I'm enough for you, Abraham. You trust me." Job. In Job chapter 1, we're told about four servants coming to him. One gets done speaking and the words are still echoing in the room, and a second one comes up. And then the third, and then the fourth. The first one says, "The Chaldeans have come and they've killed all your oxen and your asses." Or they've taken all your oxen and asses, killed all of your servants. The next one comes and says, "Your sheep, a fire has come and devoured them and all the servants there." The third one comes and says, "Now your camels have been stolen by the Sabians and all your servants there have been killed." And while that echo is still ringing in the room, the fourth one comes. "A great wind has come. And the house which all of your children, all your seven children were gathered together in, has collapsed on them and killed everyone." And what does Job say? "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God's enough. Though he had lost everything, he said, "God's enough." And then he lost his health in chapter 2. And his wife told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die, Job?" He says, "You speak as one of foolish women. Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord and evil?" And in all this, it says, Job sinned not with his tongue. God was enough. Is he enough for you this morning? Whatever you might be facing, or wherever you might face this week, is God enough in your life right now? We read about the Apostle Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." There's a lot of discussion about what this thorn in the flesh is. It's not important. The fact of the matter is he had some physical affliction. Something that was, in his mind, hindering him from accomplishing all that he desired, all that he felt that God wanted him to accomplish. This is the man that wrote over half of the New Testament books. Evangelized Asia. Reached even into Spain and possibly even into Britain with his evangelistic work. And yet he felt he could do more. If he could just get rid of this. It says that Luke, the beloved physician, traveled with him as a constant companion. That's how bad this thing was. That he had to have a constant physician with him to care to his needs. And it says, verse 8, "In this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it not might depart from me." God, please, deliver me from this. God, please, take this away from me. Three times he begged and pleaded with God. God, relieve me of this suffering, this affliction, this messenger of Satan that's buffeting me. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." No. That's what God said. Not going to do it, Paul. I'm going to leave that suffering in your life. Now, I got an idea how I'd react. A little pity party. My feet, you know. Pitch a little fit. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Or, God's enough. God, you're all I need. I'll live with it, God. I'll even take pleasure in it. Because I got you. And you're enough for me. Boy. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul writing to these believers at the church at Philippi. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. This apparently had been one of his supporting churches. They provided funds to help him to go out to other areas to preach the gospel. And for some reason, there had been a period of time when the funds had dried up. But now they've been able to send him a gift again. And he says, I rejoice in that. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, look, I don't care about the money. That's not important to me. He goes on, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's enough. He rejoiced not because he received, but because he knew the blessing that God would give to the Philippians because they had given. He said, I don't need it. I'm glad for it, but I can live without it. As well as he could live with that affliction that troubled him, that plagued him, that he struggled with. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. Start at verse 37. Nay, in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Again, this is Paul writing this. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, I've got my Savior. One of the songs we sang this morning, Jesus and Me, I traveled along this lonely road. And I can't remember how. My burdens were heavy and dark was my load. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all my life been looking for me. Now it's Jesus and me for all my sorrows, for every heartache, for every trial. He's enough. He's going to take me home one day. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he told us that to be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I got him. That ought to be enough. I read about this one individual who's going through some very difficult times and just really struggling spiritually and with the things that were going on. And they heard about this woman, a very spiritual woman that was visiting in the area. So he went to see her. Just thought he'd get some counsel. He'd been encouraged to go see her and counsel with her, just see if he could get some help from her. And she sat patiently as he told his story without interrupting and got done. And she just kind of stared at him for a moment. And then she said this, all you say may be very true, but then in spite of all it, there is God. And he said, I waited. And that was it. But didn't you hear what I said? Didn't you understand what I'm going through and all that I've suffered? Yeah, I got it. But there is God. And he went back several times, trying to coax more out of this spiritual giant. And that's all she said. There is God. And that's enough. Is he enough in your life this morning? He's enough for salvation. He should be enough for our daily lives. But then as Paul said in Romans chapter 8 there, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 23, it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Every one of us in here, if the Lord tarries, is going to face that deep, dark valley. You don't have to face it alone. But some will choose to because they don't think God's enough. They don't think that the plan of salvation that God has laid out is enough. And they reject it for their own, for what they're adding to what God has already done. And sadly, God won't be there for you. A Christian, do you fear that valley? Sometimes we're too attached to this world, folks. Is there something that you feel needs to be fulfilled in your life, needs to take place, needs to happen before you be ready to go to heaven? If it is, then you're saying God's not enough. He's enough for death as well as life. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, you know the struggles in my own heart. Where I've not counted you as enough in my life. God, I pray you'll help me to get the victory in this area. And I pray that this can also be a help to your people assembled here this morning as well. Help us, God, to count you as enough without any ifs, ands, or buts added to it. Just regardless, you are enough for me. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you as Savior, help them to understand you are more than enough. That you have paid the debt of sin in full. And that gift of salvation is simply waiting there to be received. That they, by faith, all they have to do is reach out and trust you. Ask you to forgive them, to cleanse them, to make them your child. God, may your Spirit work in any hearts here this morning that need to know you as Savior. God, may we not just dismiss this. May we take this message home with us and ponder it through this week. And be reminded when we're counting you not enough. And that our hearts would be fixed upon you, waiting upon you, trusting only upon you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.